at I Love.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Attorney General William Barr has appointed U.S. Attorney John Durham of Connecticut to examine how the Russia investigation got started and to determine if intelligence collection involving the Trump campaign was lawful and appropriate. President Trump downplaying the escalating trade dispute between the U.S. and China as nothing more than a little squabble between friends. Trade talks between the two countries have broken down. Mr. Trump says the two countries were close to a deal, but says China broke it. Meeting in Russia, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says he has warned the Russian foreign minister against interference in the next American presidential election. And the Senate has voted to confirm Michael J. Trunkhale to be a U.S. District Court judge for the Eastern District of Texas. On Wall Street, the Dow is ahead 339 points. This is SRN News.
Lots of sunshine today. The high will be 86 degrees. This evening, partly cloudy. Our overnight low drops to 62. Tomorrow, partly cloudy. The high will be 83. For Thursday, mostly sunny. The high 86. And Friday, lots of sunshine expected. The high Friday will be 90 degrees.
Hey guys, good afternoon. Welcome to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes here with my good buddy Doug McCurry this Tuesday afternoon. Today is May 14th, and summer has officially arrived, at least here in Jacksonville, because it's about 100 degrees outside.
Yeah, it's pretty warm here. Wish we were up with our friends listening up in Virginia on 100.1 because in 1010, because it's like some showers and 60 in the 60s up there. And we haven't seen that in a while.
That's some good golf weather there, Doug.
Yeah. Although it's a little breezy up there. And so I think they're getting some of the bad weather that kind of pushed through.
Yeah.
But it's supposed to be sunny up there tomorrow. But yeah, I'm not ready for summer. I kind of like the cool of the spring, and I wish it was here just a little longer.
Your girls are probably about done with school here, aren't they?
Yeah, one more week. I think they got one more week, and it's done. But
you're
only got,
gearing up, y'all all prepared and ready to roll.
Yeah, we only got one. We got this week of SWAT, and next week of SWAT, and then we break for our summer break.
I know,
you know,
man.
And we do have the summer SWAT retreat. By the way, thanks to all the guys that came out last night for the summer SWAT. Not the summer SWAT.
The
SWAT movie night Gladiator. It was kind of cool to go in and see Gladiator on the screen there. You know,
that is cool.
It was good.
Well, I wish I could have made it. Was invited to go speak at an event, a marriage event for our good friends Jerry and Susan Pittman. And
how'd that go?
Oh, it was awesome. It was such a sweet time. I mean, what a great ministry they're involved in. Just so encouraged to see folks that many coming together to enrich their marriage.
Yeah.
Oh goodness, there were 19 couples. So that's how many couples there are.
That's a lot.
Yeah,
man.
It was great.
30, almost 40 people.
Very
man.
Encouraged by that group.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. But thanks to Jerry and Susan. By the way, I'm going to have them as a guest here pretty soon. Hopefully, we can get them on the next couple of weeks before we go off the air for the summer. But I'd love for folks to hear kind of what they're doing.
Well, I'm kind of running around crazy this week. I leave to go to Pittsburgh on Thursday to be with my friend Leo Wisniewski up there in Locking Arms doing their men's retreat this week. They do a Locking Arms retreat everywhere, so I'm looking forward to getting to hang with him and Tunch again. They're great guys to hang around, have a heart for discipleship,
yep,
and all that, and just really excited about our time together up there. But it's kind of made me a little crazy this week, and also trying to do the the summer thing, getting ready for the retreat. In fact, James, our guy who handles all of our web stuff, who does a fantastic job, by the way, He's going to be coming in for the retreat on August 3rd. And he's wanting to see if anybody wants to do some bike riding.
Come on,
like,
James.
He's wanting
Let's
to do like some 10-mile-a-day, I don't know, 15-mile-a-day ride. I mean, not day, 10 to 15 miles an hour to go away for a couple hours, almost like a 30-ride out, 30-mile ride back. So if anybody wants to come to the retreat and join him, you're welcome to do that. I'm not going to be doing
that. I was going to say, James, I thought you were going to say maybe a couple of miles down the road, a couple of miles back, I'd be all in. I don't know if I could do, you know, 30, 40, 50 miles on a little seat. I don't know. They say they have pads on those little jumpsuits, whatever they wear.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I would fit very well into the spandex. I don't know. I'm just, no.
I'm not going to go there. Neither one of us would really kind of pull that one off.
Well, you know, I don't know if you've been keeping up with what's going on out in California. You know, they passed a new kind of a school board thing that's going to go into all their schools, which is basically indoctrinating kindergartners about everything from autonomous sex to, you know, the whole LGBTQ thing. And it's just never ending on this thing in our culture. And you know, you're made to feel like a bigot if you disagree with that. You're made, if you think that that's bad. Some of these people that are speaking out are really vilified up there. And you know, the New York Times recently had a thing. They were promoting new fiction for children that have this LGBTQ theme. One book told the story of a boy who decided he's a mermaid instead of a boy. And then another one tells kind of a gay love story of two aardvarks. But they're using animals and to tell about them being of the same sex. It's just crazy how they're trying to indoctrinate children into this. Is this the same country we grew up in? It's just not. It's changed. Can you imagine? Even 20 years ago, this wouldn't have happened. And this is progressivism.
This is
literally what people are doing. And I mentioned a person last week that was a very outspoken, you know, quote, I put it in parentheses, professing Christian, who would have promoted all this stuff and said that's healthy and that's good. But I don't think it is. And I don't think it's wrong for us as believers to stand out and disagree with it. I mean, you know, Jim Dennison the other day talked about how The Atlantic, which is a publication that is promoting a documentary that claims to promote both sides of the heartbeat bill. I don't know that it does, but they paint one side as pro-choice, the other as anti-abortion. Now, did you get that?
Yes.
Instead of pro-choice and pro-life, it's pro-choice and anti-abortion. In other words, not for life, but, you know, trying to restrict something. That's the narrative.
Why
that
can't
they
we
want.
Just call it pro-life, pro-death?
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Well, if you put pro-death out there, people would have a duck. Because, no, we're not.
Absolutely.
They don't say that. But the people who are progressive are very good at vilifying people who are standing for values that are biblical values and making us anti whatever it is, you know, whether it's anti-freedom, sexual freedom,
right,
whatever it is, instead of saying, no, we're for the biblical values God created. We're not anti, we're pro-biblical values.
Which, by the way, for over 200 years have proven to be pretty profitable for us as a country. That's not to say we've got it all perfect. Far from it.
Yeah.
But overall, as a nation, those decisions that have been made for the last couple hundred years have proven to be pretty well documented.
Yeah. Well, our buddy said that. Well, he said that whenever you can paint somebody as to what they're not, you know, like if you and I are arguing, and I can say what you're not and make you anti something, I gain an advantage in that argument. And a
is
lot
that
of
just
people
in the language that's, you're saying
yes
is that,
and it's a very subtle thing. And so you know, as we Think about that as we're having conversations. Think about the term pro-biblical marriage or pro-traditional marriage, or, you know, I'm for biblical values. And this is what my faith, you know, is. It's these are the things that I believe that God wants me to live out in my life. I'm not anti you. I'm pro-God and what he says in his word. And if you choose to go against God's word, you're making yourself against what I believe God says.
Yeah.
You're not saying, this is not Doug McCary's values. This is not Brad Sykes' values. This is what we believe is God-ordained values that he gave us in his word. And if we're wrong, we want to know. If this isn't what God wants, but don't sit there and tell me that God loves this when his word clearly says he doesn't love this. This is, he doesn't like things that go against his will and what he has ordained. Not in a, you know, and people will pick, they'll cherry pick different times in the Bible where God was very specific to Israel about doing specific things to a particular people group. That was not a what I call a timeless principle, but there are some timeless principles that he gives us. One is do not commit adultery. Two, do not murder. Those are timeless principles. Jesus said it best this way, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Well, it's hard to do that if you are knowingly going against what his word says.
Yeah.
And if this whole LGBTQ thing were a non-item, then why would Paul say such were some of you?
Right.
And referring to effeminate and referring to people who had a same-sex relationship, because that God doesn't leave you that way. It doesn't mean that that can keep you from coming to God, but he's not going to let you stay that way. And we alluded to some of that yesterday. So it's just another attack. And as believers, if we're going to be warriors, and that's what we're about, spiritual warriors advancing truth. You know, somebody saw the shirt last night because a lot of the guys wore their shirts
right
to the SWAT, to the movie night. And they were, what does that stand for? Spiritual warriors advancing truth, the truth of God's word and the truth, Jesus. He is the truth. And we want to be practical and relevant. And really, we've kind of been pushed into irrelevancy in our culture because the world has won a lot of these cultural battles because of what Jim was bringing out a while ago, you know, about the way they use language. they've minimized us.
Right. No, absolutely. And I mean, it's a constant battle. Of course, I think of, was it Peter who said, don't be surprised at these fiery ordeals that are going to come your way. We're going to be persecuted. We're going to deal with that kind of stuff. You mentioned, I thought you brought it up well. We'll probably bring it up this week about the people in darkness. When they're in darkness, that's the way they operate.
Well, there is a supernatural darkness that people, it really blinds them to see truth.
Right.
So one of the biggest things we can do as believers is to pray for God to pull the veil back off their eyes for them to see.
And for us to live in the light ourselves. You know, we are the light.
So, to be the light.
To be the light, exactly. So, hey, glad you joined us today. We're going to take a break here in just a second. If you want to call today, again, SWAT Radio is a live broadcast. We love to interact with those that are out there listening to us. You can call us at 844-777-7928. If you have a question, maybe some comments for us, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at ask@swatradio.com. That's ask@swatradio.com. If you have a specific question for Doug, that's doug@swatradio.com. Or for me, Brad@SWATradio.com. Is that enough SWATradio.com?
I think so.
You want to go back and listen to past broadcasts? How about SWATradio.com?
Yeah, you go there and click. You also, it's all there.
Past broadcasts.
Thanks to James.
All right. Hey, listen, we'll be right back. SWAT Radio.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomnehl.com.
SWAT Radio is brought to you in part by Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. is a full-service sales door and window installation company. Both of the owners are licensed contractors and are involved in the daily operations of the company. All of their trucks are company-owned and fully equipped. Their mission is to provide Jacksonville and the surrounding area with door and window replacement services. To learn more, call 904-701-3667. That's 904-701-DOOR. Or online at www.acedoor.com.
There I was on death row, guilty in the first degree. Son of God hanging on the hill, hell was my destiny. The crowd was shouting, crucify. Could have come from these lips of mine. Shame was killing me. It would take a miracle to wash me clean. Then I
Welcome to SWAT Radio, Brad Sykes, Doug McCary. That's David Crowder, yeah. Red Letter.
I love that song.
Oh, man, such a good song. Good words.
Yeah. Well, yeah, especially in light of the fact that we're talking about the crucifixion this week, and we're talking about what Christ went through for us, the fact that he was the remedy of our sin, for our sin. He was the he took the penalty of our sin, the reason for our suffering. We saw in the crucifixion clearly demonstrated that sin has a great price that has to be paid. Otherwise, God would never have allowed his son to go through that.
I was looking at the lyrics of that song. Verse 2 says, the crowd was shouting, crucify, could have come from these lips of mine. The dirty shame was killing me. It would take a miracle to wash me clean, which it did.
Yeah. He took our place on that cross. Yeah. And if you're listening today and, you know, maybe you've been one of these people in your life that you concentrate and think a lot about the love of God. Maybe you doubt his love, you know, because of things not going right in your life. That's the way the enemy works. He always tries to whisper in our ear whenever things just don't go right. We tend to be struggling, whether it's in a relationship, whether it's in our finances, careers, whether it's in our health, career, whatever it is, with our, you know, kids, doesn't matter. The enemy will whisper, you know what? God doesn't really love you. If he loved you, he wouldn't let this happen. And you need to be reminded, and this is why it's so important for us to be reminded about the cross and the crucifixion, about how much he did love us. He loved us that much that he allowed his son to go through what he went through that day, to bear the wrath. I mean, the wrath of God. And, you know, we talked about it a little bit yesterday. We alluded to it, that there's a lot of people in a growing movement, actually, in our country, of people who only want to focus on God's love, and they never want to talk about his wrath. They don't want to talk about sin because it's uncomfortable. They don't want to talk about the cross because it's uncomfortable. But when you get away from that, you get away from those things, you tend to, if you only think about the love, you almost get this little bit of an entitlement aspect where you think, well, I do deserve this and I deserve that. And we don't deserve anything. If the crucifixion does anything, it reminds us of this terrible price of sin. And that's the reason for suffering. So if God let his own son go through that, why would not he allow his followers sometimes to go through difficult times to show the world their faithfulness and his strength in the midst of suffering? Because are you more glorifying to God driving a BMW around the corner, a brand new Beamer, or going through a terrible tragedy but still showing a faithfulness and trust in him?
Well, Paul said everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer.
Yeah, Peter said that. Yep. Jesus said that. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, hey, if they treat me this way, why do you expect to be treated any different? And so the reason for suffering we saw last week was sin, plain and simple. It was sin from the beginning. It was what Christ took. We saw in Isaiah 53 that he took the penalty for our sin. And because of what he went through, we are healed of ever having to pay for that. Everything bad we would ever do, everything bad we've ever done. And if that isn't good news, if that doesn't give you perspective, then I would encourage you to spend a little more time reading up on the crucifixion and meditating on what he went through. Yes, it's painful, but that isn't that what makes you grateful that you didn't have to go through that, Brad?
Amen. Amen. I think, Doug, we have an earthly perspective. We have too much of an earthly perspective. You know, I want my time here on the earth to be this way. My expectations are this. And when they don't go as I desire them to be, I can easily get sidetracked. I can easily lose my hope, my faith. Listen, God didn't promise that this life would be easy. I mean, I just, you know, mentioned Paul, Peter, James, you know, all these texts that speak to the idea that trials and temptations and tests are going to come our way. There's going to be struggles on this earth.
Well, we tend to hold on to the earthly things sometimes so tight that we lose sight of what we gained. I mean, it would be like, and I'm not saying this doesn't happen, but if somebody has a terminal illness and they've got 2 weeks to live, have you ever noticed, if you've ever been around people, and I've been around several people like this, how some of the things they don't care about that you and I really care about.
Oh, yeah.
Because those things don't matter anymore.
I know you've been there before. You ever been so sick you couldn't think about anything but just the pain or whatever being over with, you know? Either you really don't think about a whole lot of things. And yeah, you're right. When you think about people who have been given a sentence, a terminal illness, they're not stressed about whether or not, you know, I can get that bill paid over there. And again, it's not to say we don't pay the bill. It's just that's not a burden you're carrying anymore.
Mm-mm. No. Well, as we look at the text today, we're in Matthew 27, looking at verses 45 through 66. And yesterday, I think we did allude to at least the first two sayings. We talked about the seven sayings of Jesus on the cross. Mm-hmm. And if you remember, when Jesus was on the cross, we looked at those first two sayings where he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. That's found over in Luke account, over in Luke 23. And then in Luke 23, after that, He tells a thief, after having this interaction with a thief that was on one of the crosses, "Today you will be with me in paradise." We talked about how that thief started off mocking him, but repented, took ownership of his sin, recognized his deity, recognized his resurrection, recognized his kingdom, recognized his need, and said, "I want to be with you." It wasn't a special prayer. It was just from the heart. And we talked about that yesterday, in case you're listening today and you didn't catch yesterday, how a lot of times in our culture, what, let me think of the guy's name, Dick Halverson, who was a chaplain to the Senate a long time ago, said, when I knew his son, Chris, who was very active with a group called the Fellowship up there in the ministry, and his dad said, what started in Jerusalem as a relationship went to Greece and became an idea, went to Rome and became an institution, came to America and became an enterprise. And what we have done is what you refer to many times as a transaction, so much so that we've made it unpersonal or impersonal. Yeah. And not impersonal, impersonal. We've made it very impersonal, and God is a personal God as he interacts with people.
You know, Doug, made me think of the idea that, yes, we are to be in relationship, not in religion. And I mean, there's this mix-up. Can you imagine, take any of your girls or take my kids, can you imagine looking them in the face and just being just in... You love them so much. There's so much passion and enthusiasm and for those kids. And yet, when it comes to God, it's like we're just very robotic. There's no emotion. There's no passion.
Exactly. And how could you know that you put him on the cross, that you were responsible in your sin? See, that when you start taking ownership of that sin that put him there, I don't know how you can't express some kind of emotion that he would die for you, that he would redeem you. And I used the illustration yesterday about a person backing out of their driveway. You know, I've had people tell me, well, I'm just not that emotional of a person. If you backed out of your driveway, the same person, and ran over a neighbor's child, you mean to tell me they wouldn't be emotional? I know they would be. They might express it a little different, but everyone would show emotion.
Well,
you know,
I was just looking at, went back, Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes. Now, in context to the story you just shared, can you imagine how poor in spirit you would be? Can you imagine about your mourning? You'd mourn over that situation.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how meek you would be? I mean, it would completely humble you. You would hunger and thirst to make things right. You know, just think about it. If you did that to a neighbor's child, just go through the Beatitudes, and those are the emotions that you would have.
I think that's why Jesus started with that.
Absolutely.
When he was teaching his disciples. Well, Jesus went on from the next saying from that over in John 19. He saw his mother, and he saw John, the apostle, and he said, "Woman, behold your son." And you know, he told John to the disciple, "Behold your mother." Now, what's interesting to me, and I know we got to go to break, is Jesus never referred to Mary as his mother in the entire scripture. You can search for it. Other people referred to her as his mother, but he always referred to her as woman.
Yeah.
Woman. And he said, "Woman, behold your son," referring to John. He cared for her as he should as a mother, as a son who was leaving, who Joseph, many believe, was already off the scene. So when we come back, what I want to come back and just reiterate is three merciful acts by Jesus in the midst of his pain and tragedy here.
Yeah, it's amazing. Matthew chapter 27. If you can grab a Bible, open it up. That's where we're going to be, verses 45 through 66. Join us, SWAT Radio. You can call us at 844-777-7928. We'll be right back.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm John Scott. President Trump is downplaying the escalating trade dispute between the U.S. and China as nothing more than a little squabble between friends. He says the U.S. is in a strong position with China.
They want to make a deal. It could absolutely happen. But in the meantime, a lot of money is being made by the United States, and a lot of strength is being shown.
The president spoke before leaving for Louisiana earlier today. He says that the two countries were close to a deal, but says China broke it. Meeting in Russia, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says he has warned the Russian foreign minister against interference in the next American presidential election.
I made clear to Foreign Minister Lavrov, as we've made clear for the past months, that interference in American elections is unacceptable.
Pompeo also says the U.S. does not want a military confrontation with Iran.
We fundamentally do not seek a war with Iran.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. Attorney General William Barr appointing U.S. Attorney John Durham of Connecticut to examine how the Russian investigation got started and to determine if intelligence collection involving the Trump campaign was lawful and appropriate. Also at townhall.com, federal accident investigators are scheduled to arrive in Alaska today following a deadly midair collision.
The Coast Guard says four people were killed after two float planes carrying tourists from the cruise ship Royal Princess collided yesterday near the southeast Alaska town of Ketchikan. Two other people remain missing. A team from the National Transportation Safety Board in Washington, which investigates major accidents, is expected to arrive on site later this afternoon. The FAA says the float planes collided under unknown circumstances. Matt Small, Washington.
On Wall Street, the Dow ahead 288 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
No active accidents, but planned construction causing some major delays on Butler Boulevard westbound before the Intercoastal, blocking the right lane, backing traffic up about A1A. Also, look out for a broken down vehicle on the West Beltway 295 heading north at the ramp from Collins Road. Partly cloudy tonight, expect a low 57. Wednesday, mostly sunny, high 82.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad and Doug here this Tuesday afternoon. By the way, let me just mention, tomorrow we've got the SWAT Bible studies kicking off for the week. Tomorrow out at Woody's Barbecue, 6:30 a.m.
Yep.
Solana Road. And then tomorrow afternoon at lunch here at the Salem Center. Tomorrow evening, Eastside Community Church, Doug, 6:30, 7?
Yeah. I'm gonna have that down 7, by now. 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. Then you got Thursday morning at Jumpin' Jack's House of Foods in Mandarin, kind of near Crown Point.
Yeah.
And San Jose, that's at 6:30. And then Friday morning, is that a 9 o'clock study out there?
9 o'clock down at the Village Inn.
Village Inn.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to go down there.
Yeah. It's yeah, you're going to be teaching this week. I'm excited you're going to be down there filling in because I will be in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. And so. You're leaving when?
I'm leaving Thursday afternoon.
Okay.
And right. I'll be out there. So you guys are going to have Tom McLeod on with you. Transform Jacksonville. Tom did a great job with a prayer breakfast here.
He did.
In town. A lot of good people. Heath Lambert spoke. Joby Martin spoke. And Bishop Vaughn, who came in and was our guest. And so, and then You get Dave on Friday. David Gray, the Boston man.
Gray, yes. The Boston. I'm sure we will talk some sports.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But we will get in the word.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. I appreciate you guys taking it while I'm gone. Well, you know, Brad, we were talking about those three sayings of Jesus. Father, forgive them. The thief, today you'll be with me in paradise. And then even to the mother, you know, to Mary, woman, behold your son. He's caring about these people, even when he's in a, I mean, think about, he is going back and forth, pushing up on his feet. Every time he pushes up on his feet to relieve the pressure on his hands, it puts pressure on his feet and pain shoots through his body. When he has to let go of his feet to relieve the pressure there, it puts pressure on his hands. And in between that and trying to gasp for air, he has the mercy and grace to care about the people that are putting him on the cross, to care about this thief who spent his whole life in rebellion probably against God, and to care for his mother, you know, and look at her and John who are staying behind, who aren't dealing with what he's dealing with. And, you know, there's such a model there. When we go through difficult times, we tend to lash out at people instead of thinking of people. Even in the midst of the most excruciating pain you could go through, he's putting others above himself. I mean, and you just think about that. That is a God of love. Yes, he is loving, but it also shows justice as he's dealing with that. And so for people,
well, because what you're seeing is the justice of God.
Yeah.
On the cross.
You're seeing love meet justice.
Yeah.
God's anger and wrath being poured out on his son. And for people who say that's child abuse, you know, and they can't believe in that. They don't understand what he's going through. Jesus knew when he was in the garden, he knew what was coming even before that. He's known from the beginning of time what was going to happen. And he said, I have to go through this so that we could be forgiven.
You had quoted from a president, I think, of a seminary a couple of weeks ago, maybe last week, that she didn't believe in this idea that Jesus, the Son of God, that God would, you know, in essence, abuse his own child. Well, then you don't have an understanding of the sentence of sin.
Mm-mm.
You know, that there's consequences to sin. It's just like there are consequences in everything.
There are.
It's like I can do whatever I want to. You can go ahead and do whatever you want to, and there's no consequences. Here's the reality. Sin will be paid for.
It will. And it says that in the Old Testament. It talks about God being jealous and avenging, his wrath being poured out over in Nahum. In Romans 1, the wrath of God revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. See, I think one of our biggest struggles is we don't see ourselves as really worthy of God's punishment.
Mm.
We don't, you know, what we did isn't that bad. You know, I'm not that bad of a person. Why do I need a savior? Why do I need rescuing? Why do I need somebody to take my place on a cross? I didn't do anything that bad to begin with. I'm a pretty good person. You know, I go to church, I read my Bible, or even if you don't do that, you know, I try to be nice to people. We tend to look at ourselves and compare us to people who have done terrible things in this world. And they're not the basis for our comparison. Jesus is. He was perfect. And one of the things that you see that in is in this time, what I call the daylight hours on the cross, three hours where he's on the cross in front of everybody, but a bloodied, battered, and loving people in the midst of his pain more than himself at that point. And to see that, what you got to ask yourself, are you doing that? Are you doing that? Have you done that? When you've been in pain, do you lash out at people? Do you want everybody to serve you? Do you want everybody to come and give you comfort and aid? Because that's typically what I do, you know?
I was thinking Stephen did the same thing, didn't he, when he was being stoned?
Yeah.
Forgive them.
Yeah, that's what he said. And so I want to remind our listeners that, you know, God's wrath is nothing more that is just his anger. And that's how goodness responds to evil. And anything that goes against God's will, and that can be basically when you rebel openly against commands he has in Scripture, or you rebel covertly where you don't do what he's told, you know, things that he's told us to do, you just don't do.
Yeah. Yeah.
In fact, in Matthew 25, that's what he condemned the goats for, the things that they should have done that they did not do. And they go, when did we not do these things, Lord? He said, when you didn't do these to the least of these, my brothers, you didn't do it to me. And so we're at the place now in the story in Matthew 27, verse 45, where we're going from Jesus crucified in the light to where he's about to enter the darkness. There's a darkness that's going to take place over the whole earth, and over the many people believe it's over all the earth at this point. Some people believe it might have just been here. What's clear is at least where they were, there was this supernatural darkness that took place. And so why don't you read just the first five verses, and we're going to look at this separation from God. The crucifixion shows us that separation from him brings a supernatural darkness and spiritual death. It's not a place we wanted to be. Jesus took that so that we wouldn't have to, but read it, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about it.
Yeah, beginning in verse 45. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, this man is calling Elijah. And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink.
Hmm.
But the others said, wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit.
So in this 3 hours, if you read over in Mark, if you read in Luke, you see the same phrase, 3 hours. And it's just 3 hours. There was darkness until the ninth hour. It's the same thing. Over in Luke, I think it adds, and the sun failed. In other words, the sun wasn't working. So this was a supernatural kind of occurrence. This was not some kind of desert storm, windstorm. It wasn't a cloud that just went over. This was a supernatural darkness that covered the land. And it was heaven sent. And it made me think of over in Exodus, the ninth plague in Exodus 10 was a darkness they said that could be felt. Hmm. Have you ever been in a place that
dark?
Yeah,
I have, actually.
It's scary, isn't
it? Mm-hmm.
You can't see anything. You don't know where anything is. I was sharing with the guys at SWAT. I was in the woods of Quantico, Virginia, in the Marine Corps at night doing a night op. And me and a friend were on point, and we were up ahead of everybody. There's ravines, creeks, all kinds of little overhangs that you could fall 20, 30 feet. And if you're not careful, you could get really hurt. You could maybe die.
Because you can't see what you're moving through.
There was no cloud. I mean, there was no stars, no moon, nothing. We were out there, and literally we're just thinking about all the dangers. Well, when you have spiritual darkness, which is represented by what was going on there, spiritual darkness, this was supernatural. And you know, when you're in that kind of darkness, that's how you can do things that are so bizarre. Like, you know, last week we talked about this guy in South Florida that killed a 2-year-old with a blowtorch. How do you do something like that?
Mm.
How do you kill your own child in a microwave the way a lady up in Georgia did not too long ago? I mean, how do you do stuff like that? It's because of the supernatural darkness. And when we come back, we're going to look at the couple of passages where that's always been associated with God's wrath. And God's wrath is being poured down on Jesus at this point. So. Yeah,
good deal. Glad you joined us today. You want to join? You want to call us? We'd love to hear from you. 844-777-SWAT. Ask at SWATradio.com. We'll be right back.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
SWAT Radio is brought to you on the truth by Evolve Bank and Trust. Evolve offers investment services, trust and mortgage services, physician lending, and equipment finance. Through its affiliates, a network of bankers, trust officers, and mortgage advisors, they offer a wide array of loan products and services and are actively involved in the growth of the communities they serve. Evolve is a nationwide lender providing residential mortgage loans, including conventional, FHA, VA, home equity lines of credit, reverse mortgages, and USDA loans. More information is available by calling Michael Koopman with Evolve Bank and Trust at 727-415-2214. Their web address is www.clearwater.evolve.mortgage. Equal housing lender. All loans subject to credit approval.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad and Doug here this Tuesday afternoon. Doug, you know, I was looking at my notes. I was kind of, when we're in here in the studio, I go back to look at the notes from the previous week, which is what we're in today here on the air, is what we were studying last week.
Uh-huh.
And I wrote down, this may not be exactly how you put it, but the true light of the world was being snuffed out on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, Jesus is continuously referred to as light. And I also said, God did not, I don't know if this came from you, but God did not want his son to be seen like this on the cross.
I think I did allude to that last week, is that some people believe that maybe he would have done that just to prevent people from being, witnessing his son endure the wrath. I mean, it's almost like, you know, think about it. Well, the other thing that I didn't bring up is the temple curtain was torn,
mm-hmm.
right? And when the temple curtain was torn, that was what the only person that went in there was the high priest.
Right, right.
So he went in there to do what? to offer the sacrifice.
Exactly.
He went in there to basically take the blood, present it on the altar, and offer a prayer for the people that their sins would be forgiven. But nobody could see what happened, mm-hmm. because it was covered by the curtain of the Holy of Holies. And think about this. This was really the holiest event, where you have God himself taking the punishment of all of man, something we could not do. You and I couldn't bear that. Mm-hmm. I mean, we couldn't bear it. We you know, people say, well, you know, they were taunting him, saying, come down from the cross. And we mentioned this several times. If he came down, then we would have had to gone up. I mean, the wrath of God was poured out on him during this time, not necessarily throughout the whole process. Some people say the first 3 hours he was on the cross was man taunting, man hurting. But the last 3 hours, when it went spiritually dark, was when God poured out his wrath, like he talked about in Isaiah 53. And so we see this supernatural darkness. And I mentioned some verses when I was teaching last week, Isaiah 5 and Isaiah 13 and Joel 2 and Joel 3. Both those prophets bring out this idea of darkness being associated with God's wrath. And darkness is where evil lurks. It's where danger lurks. And the light illuminates that. And the thing that's always struck me about those analogies of light and darkness is darkness can never overcome light.
Yeah.
Light will always win that battle. And Jesus is the light. But what we see during that moment, Brad, is what happens when we're separated from God. There's a supernatural darkness that takes place. There was a period in there when God was pouring out his wrath on Jesus. He quotes from Psalm 22. You mentioned that when he said, Eli, Eli, right? They were mocking him when they were saying, Elijah, maybe Elijah's come. They knew, they were Jewish. They knew he was not calling for Elijah. They were mocking him. He was quoting from Psalm 22, and he says, my God and my God, why have you forsaken me? Because God at that moment poured out his wrath like a laser beam down on Jesus in such a way that Jesus was bearing it all, that God had to look away from his own son, not just in a temporary pop my head out and look back. The fellowship was broken for the first time in history.
It was no longer a father-son relationship
at that moment.
Just for that moment.
Yeah, and it's a mystery. We can't even explain that, how that fellowship was broken. But it's a supernatural darkness that took place. And that separation is there for people who do not receive Jesus Christ, who do not know Jesus. That still is going to be experienced. And that is why these people can do these incredibly dark and unbelievably horrific acts of violence, because they live in a supernatural darkness and they have no idea of what they're doing being so evil. That's how some people can get up and preach in a church on a Sunday and then go abuse a little boy that afternoon, you know, because they're dark. They're not connected. And the other thing that we saw from this separation is spiritual death. It says at the end, what he yielded up his spirit. One of the sayings of Jesus, you know, after he quoted that Psalm 22 text, he quoted, he said, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said this to fulfill scripture. It was prophesied. He said, I thirst. But it was not a thirst for water. It was not a thirst for wine. Mm-hmm. They gave him sour wine, which he wouldn't have wanted. Jews wouldn't drink that sour wine. That was called a garbage wine. The Roman soldiers might have drank it, but the Jews wouldn't have drank that. Wine was a symbol of a celebration. And it would have been, he wanted water, or he wanted some good wine. He wanted the fellowship with the Father is what he wanted there. That's what he yearned for. And it's why he said in the garden, take this cup. I don't want to do this. And so we see that as the fourth and fifth saying. But then he said over in John 19, it is finished. And he bowed his head and it gave up his spirit. You read, he yielded up his spirit. Mm-hmm. Some people believe that had he not yielded up his spirit, then he'd still be on the cross today, because he was God. But he sovereignly chose to exit at that point and say, all right, this body is no longer going to live. And he yielded up his spirit at that point. And what's so amazing about that is the word used in John is the word telos, which means the debt is paid. And the form of that word is a word that you and I both have heard Joe White mention a bunch, tetelestai.
Right.
And that's the past perfect form of that, which means it is a forever done and accomplished fact that the debt was paid. When he said it is finished, it was like a commercial receipt that says all the sin is paid for Brad. All the sin is paid for Doug. All the sin is paid for anyone who receives that gift from me of eternal life, who knows that their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life because they were chosen before the foundation of the world. Now, how do we wrestle all that with our choice? I can't tell you, but that's what it says. And when he said, it is finished, it was not because of anything man accomplished that that took place, but God in his plan back in the Garden of Eden when he said to Eve, through your seed, your seed is going to be nipped at the heel by Satan, but you're going to stomp on him and you're going to have a victory.
Well, I think of that, it is finished, when he said that. And then literally the curtain of the temple is torn in two.
Mm-hmm.
Just, hey, that's over. So it is finished. There's no longer going to be any of this sacrifice stuff going on. No. Because I am the sacrifice.
He was it. And when we come back tomorrow, we're gonna look at not just the what happens when we're separated from him, that the crucifixion really God reveals to us what separation brings in the supernatural darkness and then the spiritual death. But we're gonna see the good news tomorrow. Mm. We're gonna see that salvation from him brings forgiveness and an eternal relationship. It brings spiritual power. It brings a supernatural proof. I mean, there are things that happen, Brad, after his death. And during, even when he was dying, the prophecies, all these supernatural things were being fulfilled right in front of the Pharisees, but they couldn't see it.
It's amazing.
Isn't that yeah. all these things amazing that took to place, and even the resurrection afterwards, they didn't scratch their head and go, well, wait a minute, that's what he said he was going to do.
And yet likely the thief on the cross recognized some of those things.
He did. And here's, you know, the other amazing thing is that the thief on the cross recognized his need, and instead of crying out to the religious leaders, he cried out to Jesus. I believe with all my heart, if Judas would have cried out to Jesus, he would have forgiven him that day. But he didn't. He went to the religious leaders. And so often we go thinking that religion or religious activity is going to appease God's anger and wrath at our sin. And so we have really two issues that we really need to reflect on and think about. One, do we really know how bad our sin is? Do we believe it? Do we really know that the littlest sin you do, the littlest omission of one of God's commands, the littlest commission of violating one of his commands of things not to do is a death penalty. Just one. And not categorize it, comparing it with other really, really well-known horrific criminals throughout history, but identifying it with the fact that God's son was put on that cross because of that one little sin you do.
I was thinking as you were sharing Romans 7, verse 24, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. We're still wrapped in a sinful body. This body is sinful.
Yeah, it craves things that the world has to offer. And that's why 1 John 2:15 says, you cannot say you love God and love the world. And this is the things of the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. All those things our body craves. But what happens is when, like the thief on the cross, if you will merely acknowledge your need and say, Jesus, remember me. No formula, no magic words. Just let your heart recognize that you're sinful, that you need a Savior. You need somebody to redeem you, to change you, and that you want him to take the penalty for your sin. He already has done it.
Well, and that's the question I think Paul says is, who will deliver me from this body of death?
And there's
who's
only
one. Who's going to deliver you from the body of death you have?
Only Jesus can do it.
Yeah.
And what we're going to see tomorrow is he offers that salvation he offers to us. The question is, are we going to receive it? You don't have to wait till tomorrow. You can express to him right now where you are. Father, I'm sorry. In your own words, tell him you want to be with him. You recognize you need him. You've lived your whole life apart from his leadership, and now you want to receive it. And as the thief received on the cross, he can tell you, today you'll be with me. And he'll do a work in you, and he will change your spirit and bring hope to your life. Don't wait another day.
2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance.
Yeah.
Hey, glad you joined us today. We'll be back tomorrow, SWAT Radio. See you then.
If you missed a SWAT radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on past shows where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia.